There are a lot of standards that are going to need to be met by some very smart engineers if the promise of useful consumer-based medical measuring and monitoring devices are to be successful and actually end up helping people. To get medical records off of paper and into the digital cloud has been a mission of the Obama administration, a $22 billion investment that a federal report released yesterday says isn't going so well. Inputting existing data is challenging, error correction as well, and then the raw data from new measuring devices has to find a safe, secure home where doctors can see it. Insurance providers, perhaps not so much. It's up to engineers and designers to make this process easy, safe, and accurate so patients and doctors can trust this brave new world. Alpesh Shah needed more than a short elevator ride to explain the challenge. As Director of Business Strategy and Analytics for the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, otherwise known as the IEEE, Alpesh Shah and the IEEE are meeting these new standards.
Each of our medical devices today are really in early stages in terms of where they can be moving forward. You know, I was having a discussion with a gentleman just yesterday about, as they see it with the organization they're with, they see the evolution of the cell phone being a medical device starting to curtail, and they start to see that medical devices themselves become more specialty items. But that's not what we're seeing necessarily. I mean, every one of us today are seeing our cell phones becoming more and more pervasive in the space of healthcare. I had a conversation with my brother-in-law over Thanksgiving, and he's much younger than me, and he wears a Fitbit. Now, a lot of folks out there make use of these tools to say, okay, how am I gauging my sleep, the analytical information that's being captured as a result of all these sensors out there? You know, that's really important. But the other aspect of then is, are the people that are making use of these technologies going to want to keep making use of it? Are they educated to use it? Are there challenges outside of the technology itself that could preclude it from being successful?
Well, how do you design standards for a device that monitors my heart and blood pressure and create standards that's going to ensure accuracy and some form of privacy?
Yeah, you know, so the technological component of it is really driven by when industry comes around it and says these are the best approaches towards getting a more accurate reading. With regards to the aspect of the security, you know, a lot of that falls into this realm of how okay are people with letting this sort of information be open, right? The technology plays one major component of it, but then there's this personal side. And that's really where this idea of the connected person comes into it, is as this conversion of smart homes and smart grids and medical devices all starts coming together, major components of that data demonstrate who you are precisely, your DNA. I mean, all this information is being captured about you, right? And that's sort of the route we're moving towards. And the question is when we get to a spot where telehealth becomes extremely pervasive in our homes, how much of that information are we okay with going from point A to point B? And that's really where policy becomes a larger discussion in this overarching piece of technology and governance and standards.
But don't you get annoyed with the idea that people who aren't engineers are going to be coming to you with recommendations, some of which will be completely outlandish? I mean, in some ways, you're not going to be able to satisfy all of the what are we okay with kinds of requests from governments and constituents in the healthcare space.
No, absolutely. And so one of the aspects of this is we're really here to help foster collaboration. You know, that's really the role that IEEE has been playing. And a major component of developing standards is ensuring that as you're developing them, you have the right stakeholders there as well as a part of the discussion. Now, they may not contribute directly to the development of the standard, but the input that they're providing into it will help influence it in a way that is meaningful.
How disruptive would it be if somebody were to design a device that all of a sudden, kind of like an iPad to a certain extent, becomes like, I want one of those. That works for me. That's perfect. And it preempts the standards and basically rewrites the reality in healthcare. As an engineer, how do you go back and then figure out what needs to happen for the next generation of a device like that?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting challenge with these disruptive technologies come into play, right? And these ideas are more about, in some ways, yeah, that's really cool technology versus this is going to make a major difference in terms of how we work. And the difficulty of it is when you can't predict the future, how do you plan for it? You know, I think it really gets down to that. And I don't think anyone solved that yet. What we found is that as these new disruptive technologies are coming into place, there comes a point after the product development cycle and market adoption where folks come to realize there really needs to be a standard around here. And a lot of that's driven from the fact of, okay, it's great that one player is able to do it so well. But now that this is now a device or a technology that's so pervasive and has so many opportunities, and medical device is a great example of this, how can now we make this something that's accessible and affordable to the market? And not just the market, but developing nations as much as the developed nations. How do we make it fair so that someone can ensure that they are getting the best level of care for wherever they are? So I'm asthmatic. And one of my issues is when I walk into all these different areas, the dust, the small things irritate me. And this idea of connected person really resonates with me because as I look at it, when I walk into a room, I would love for the room to be able to, number one, change the granularities in the air, ensure that the appropriate HEPA filters are in place, and that I'm able to function in a temperature-controlled room where that I don't have to wheeze all the time or I always have to grab for my inhaler.
So you dream of a room that senses when you walk into it that you're here
it
because of some handshake from your cell phone and then changes the air filtration based on your medical profile.
Absolutely. To me, that's sort of a very interesting future, one where we move from this idea of an individual connected person, moving up then to the idea of smarter homes and smarter cities, where this profile can actually walk with you wherever you go. And so it adjusts you. I mean, let's use an ultra marathoner, for example, who runs races all over the country. And in their home, they're able to control the temperature and everything how they like. But when you move from a low altitude to a high altitude area, that change makes a huge difference in terms of how well you can run. If you're able to walk into any hotel room and it's able to adjust to your profile, it gives you an advantage that you typically wouldn't have today. And that makes a big difference. And that's really from the wellness perspective. If you look at it from the diagnostic perspective, certainly when the doctor comes to you and makes a prescription, you know, I'm not good in terms of when the doctor tells me, take your 30 pills over 30 days and don't forget. I end up taking half of them. I just end up forgetting, right? But wouldn't it be great if that was already infused into whatever I'm eating? If the refrigerator was smart enough to actually ensure that I'm taking the appropriate amount of food with the medicine, and I remember to take the medicine. When I go to get it, dispense a glass of water, my pill comes out with it right away. There's no way I can forget. And so it's this really this concept of us living symbiotically with technology as we move forward and as it evolves. As far as standards and medical technology and the idea of Internet of Things and smart cities, smart homes, they're all intertwined. And, you know, it really is an exciting future for all of it as I see it.
Alpesh Shah, thanks so much.
John, thank you.
Alpesh Shah is the Director of Business Strategy and Analytics for the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. You can hear our fourth and final conversation in our Meeting the Standard series tomorrow. The global standards that make things work and then the spice of any well-ordered world are all the individual differences, like your personal soundtrack. You got your Journey folks out there believing your Olympians skate waltzing to Strauss. How about you?
This is Dylan from Fairview, Texas. Soundtrack to my life would have to be We Are the Champions by Queen. I'm only in college, but some of my finest moments have been in sports and activities with school.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
No, we are the champions. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.